kind of way of thinking comes from the modern philosopher. He is the crossroads through which all modern philosophy passes, goes through. So it doesn't matter whether you're doing analytic philosophy, continental philosophy, it goes through Kant. And all the interesting problems in modern philosophy seem are to be located in Kant, and therefore Kant is just kind of the axis, I think, for thinking about all the problems of modern philosophy. It doesn't mean modern philosophy stays there. It moves on in all sorts of directions, but it moves on to directions from Kant. And in that sense, he is, what I want to say, a kind of, in ways I want to explain today, the philosopher of modernity. And he's the philosopher of modernity in a very odd way, because he is, in a sense, putting to an end what many have thought to be the very questions of modern philosophy. One typical definition of modern philosophy is modern philosophy departs from the question, what is there? The question of medieval and Aristotelian philosophy, what's the world like? And modern philosophy begins with Descartes' question, how do I know what is there? And therefore, that modern philosophy is the idea that epistemology, the question of knowledge, is first philosophy rather than metaphysics or ontology. This is certainly what Descartes intended, and certainly, therefore, what the rationalist and empiricist programs following in the line of Descartes meant to pick up. Already, not long after it had begun, Kant is challenging this very program. And he challenges it first in a footnote in the preface to the second edition, where he says, however harmless idealism may be considered in respect of essential aims of metaphysics, it still remains a scandal to philosophy. I love that fact. That this book begins not with a philosophical problem, but with a scandal. A certain naughtiness that's happened. And a scandal is also the idea of a rumor. So a certain unsettledness that's kind of floating around in the cultural environment. And he says it still remains a scandal to philosophy and to human reason in general that the existence of things outside us and from which we derive a whole material of knowledge, even for our inner sense, must be accepted merely on faith. That is Descartes' idea that, you know, it's only if we know about God, or Leibniz's idea of theodicy as the condition for the possibility of knowledge. I only know that the table is here on the basis of faith. He says, that's outrageous. And any philosophy that assumes that must be in some sense outrageous, a scandal, right? Worse than the worst scandal in the most disrespectful places one might go. You know, that early epistemology, you may say, is the Clinton-Lewinsky scandal of early philosophy. As that feeling will come. So his philosophy is not quite epistemology, but a kind of displacement of epistemology. And exactly how that displacement occurs, how successful he is of course really what the whole book is about, and what his successes are about, whether they're idealists like Hegel or existentialists like Heidegger. Being in Time wants to say the same thing about the scandal. Well, Kant's critical system depends on there being three critiques There's a critique of knowledge. There's a critique of pure reason. There's a critique of morality, which is the critique of practical reason, as well as the groundwork for the metaphysics of morals. And there is a critique of judgment, which concerns beauty and teleology. Well, the three critiques are a displacement of the transcendentals of medieval metaphysics. That is, those items that are taken to be the structure of the universe, of the cosmos, in medieval thought, are in Kant broken up. And that means that the world is broken up. This is why Kant was modern. That there is no longer a whole intelligible universe in which we are going to locate ourselves and find our place. Right? That was the medieval Aristotelian Platonic worldview. That there is a universe, a cosmos, a whole of which human beings are a part. The three critiques all by themselves are a program of displacement of that cosmological metaphysical view of the world. And therefore they announce modernity in part by saying that what used to be thought of as features of the cosmos, goodness, truth, beauty, are best thought of as features of human reason, that is, as modes or ways of thinking about or apprehending the world. That truth, knowledge, is a way of encountering objects. Morality is a way of enacting our life with others. Beauty is a way of appreciating objects. That is, we turn away from the world. So, I mean, one thing I want to say here before I even go on to all this is, this is the fragmentation of the original unity of the world. That's part of Kant's modernity. There's no longer, as there is when there would be, have been, you know, some God as the great unity and ground of the world. That's over and done with. Get in the water. Forget about this. Right? What we have to investigate is not the world and its unity, but are different and irreducibly different ways of encountering the world. Which is to say, what we're interested in is the world as seen not from the perspective of God, but as seen from the human perspective. That is, the subconsciousness grounding Kant's program is that he wants to think the problem of the meaning of the world as the various ways in which human beings approach or encounter the world, the ways in which we take it up. Which is to say, he's trying to articulate the very nature of what it means to be human in terms of the ways in which we encounter the world, or to put it another way, he's trying to define what makes the human perspective on the world human.
our perspective, not some lesser way of trying to be a god or a saint or whatever.